The topic of video today has been a hot one. A lot of interest, I think, in what can be done online. Video in the Comcast world means a couple of things. Video online and on demand means a couple of things. Our discussion today, which I believe will be a good combination of various viewpoints from folks who play roles using online video and mobile video, which right now is pretty nascent, but we'll hear more about that from Bill Buck, I hope, is that there are clear benefits if you have something that can successfully engage somebody and provide them with a video engagement opportunity. It's more emotive, it's potentially more effective in lots of different ways, and what that means we can debate with a lot of the esteemed folks who've participated here. I'm looking right at you, Michael. Because video has been used to a large degree in only the ad side of things, but we're seeing an increase with broadband subscribers of people actually liking to sit in front of their computer and watch video. It's still a bit nascent, but I think as we go into this next election cycle, we're going to see things change and change pretty quickly. A little bit of background. My name is Adrienne Skinner. I've recently joined Comcast in the Spotlight division, which is our ad sales group. And what I am doing is working on a strategic basis to pull together online assets and find ways that we can bring packages forward into the marketplace for the benefit of all sorts of marketers. And in our interest in working with the political sphere, we do a lot of business on our cable side with the political side of things. But in terms of online, we're pretty new. We're pretty nascent. For those of you who live in this area, you may already be Comcast subscribers. And if you are and you're a broadband subscriber, you may be familiar with our portal called Comcast.net. Interestingly, most people who are subscribers who I've talked to today say, oh, I never use it. Well, there's about 16 million people a month who do. And right now, we license a lot of video content from ABC, CBS, NBC, Discovery, our own E! Network. And we're getting about 65 million video downloads a month, which is surprising to me. When I first got there, I was surprised that people were spending so much time in our portal looking for clips. But they do. And the top segment of videos viewed is news and then entertainment. So they're there, they're looking at it, and that's going to increase. Separately, my colleague Jim Halling is here with me to also represent our VOD area, which we have a significant amount of video on demand, 95% of which is free. It's something that as a broadband subscriber with a certain quality of digital connection with us, you are able to pull up and call into any number of video channel, video on demand, and some of the top ones include the exercise channel and dating channel and others that I'm sure we'll touch on as we go forward. So let me tell you about our panelists a little bit. Far right is Bill Buck. I'm going to let you tell when you're on deck with this, who is the president and COO of Cherry Hill Mobile Media and has had a storied history as a press secretary on the Democratic side, most recently for Wesley Clark's campaign, also as a state press secretary for Al Gore and Clinton, and I neglected to mention the Democratic National Convention Committee. James Kotecki, who is one of those underachievers attending Georgetown. I can't believe quite how much you've accomplished, and he hasn't even graduated yet. So I'm thrilled that he's here as a political consultant to Capitol Hill Broadcasting. And he's the only one with PowerPoint, folks, I think. Bill, did you bring one?
Great. No.
So we have a PowerPoint.
Sorry.
That's okay. You're allowed. Trying to have a PowerPoint-free moment here. And to my left, Jason Rosenberg, who is a strategy architect for Echo Ditto and one of the founders of Politics TV, so arguably one of the most notable and knowledgeable people in the world of politics and video. So thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if we can get started. What I did was ask our contestants to answer three questions, if you will. And the first is, why video and why now? You know, we've had a lot of points of discussion about this today. And if I could, we'll start with you.
Thanks.
Jason?
Thanks very much. This room is not well attended. You guys are just the influentials. So I'm glad you all are here. So why web video and why now? So there's a tagline in every single commercial that's run on television, and it says, I'm so-and-so, and I approve this message. So right there, it's a little clue to people that this is a political ad that's being sold to you. And more users or viewers are turning away from television, they're turning away from radio, they're turning away from the newspapers, because they just don't trust the media anymore, those media anymore. And they're moving towards blogs and different types of communication. And so when you hear, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message, right off the bat, something clicks and you say, this is an advertisement. And advertising across the board is shifting, where people don't want to be sold anything to. They don't want to be spun. So there's a bit of, there's this new trust factor that goes in with it. So online video provides something that is completely different from regular television. There's no time constraints. Video on demand is something that you can watch whenever you want to watch. You can watch from the office, you can watch from home, you can watch it on your iPod. And there's, it doesn't fit into any kind of time constrictions. It doesn't fit into any kind of formatting constrictions. So you can have a two-minute interview with a candidate talking about some behind-the-scenes stuff. Which brings me to another point, right? How many of you, when you finish watching a DVD, you watch the outtakes? Yeah. And then maybe you'll watch it with the director's cut. And maybe you'll watch it with the blooper reel. Well, these are all things that make you feel a little bit special. So maybe you've already watched the entire movie, but now you've gone out and you've got these extras. And it makes you feel like you're part of something. You were there the day that the movie was being shot. It makes you feel like you can kind of relate to the actor. You saw the actor come out of character, and there's Jim Carrey again being silly. He made a mistake. So if you can take those kind of extras and put them out there on web video, now you're introducing your candidate as something else that's different. It's not a 30-second soundbite with the fancy graphics behind you. You're allowing your audience to see somebody that's different. And you're bringing in the viewer into something else. Look, I've got something to show you. I'm going to be real quick and finish up here. Getting back to the trust issue, the other thing with web video is that it's easy to move around. It's easy to send around. I don't think that people are actually looking for web video right now. I think supporters are looking for it. YouTube has the You Choose 08 campaign going on. Barack Obama has had the most views with 90,000. That's over a seven-month period that he's had his views up. YouTube serves 130 million videos a month, and Barack Obama has had 90,000 over 6 months he's been on. We're lucky to have Jeff Jarvis here. Jeff is posting up on his site, Video President?
Presvid.
Sorry, Presvid, all the videos. Now, if I'm a blogger and I like what Jeff has to say and he makes a comment about somebody's video, I'm going to take it. I'm going to click on it and find the embed link or link to what Jeff has to say. I'm going to put it up on my blog. So people aren't going out and actively looking for it. They're going to do that around the February 5th primaries. They're going to do it during the conventions. They're going to do it during the debates. And they're going to be doing it during the general election in November of 08. So right now, it's a very inside thing that's being passed around, and they're looking to each other. Users are looking to each other for that information, where they're looking at other experts. Thanks.
James, you want to take a tap?
Yeah, a couple logistical things. Do I have to use the mic?
Yes.
I do? Okay.
Yeah, camera.
Were you on NPR this morning?
What?
You quoted on NPR?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was on Morning Edition this morning. Thanks.
Very nice.
My PowerPoint, my visual presentation kind of responds in a general way to all three of your questions, but okay. I'm going to try and work it to make it fit into the first question just to be on target with everyone else. But first, I just kind of wanted to show you guys what CHBN.com is all about. It's essentially a YouTube for political video. here's our site. We're partnered big time with The Hill, as you can obviously see. We also have a partnership with Yahoo. The Hill stuff, they're producing some of their own content. Yahoo, they're hosting some of our content on their video site. So we're doing a lot of exciting stuff. As you can see, we have, so I can scroll down here. We have popular topics, different categories. It's all about political video. You can see some of my videos. That's a video I did about the politics of Law and Order, which talked about Fred Thompson getting into the race. Sam Waterston is a spokesperson for Unity 08, so I thought that was kind of funny, and I did a video about it and put it up. So that's what CHBN's all about. Anybody can upload videos to it. We do screen them to make sure that they have somewhat of a political focus so that it's not just anybody posting a video, any kind of screed about anything. But for any political opinion or anything relevant to politics, we'll usually pull it up. If you know how to use YouTube, you basically know how to use this. It's the same thing. But basically, the reason this exists is to get your message out there to a more targeted and focused political audience. We're also going to be adding a blog capability very soon. Very exciting stuff going on there. And now my PowerPoint, which I promise is really not that bad, actually. I tried to make it as sparse as possible because I, too, really hate reading PowerPoint presentations where they just put everything up on the screen and there's no reason to listen to someone like me talk. So I wanted to talk about why video, and I think about this in terms of why is online video different than every other kind of medium that's out there today? A lot of politicians are posting a lot of good content on these sites like CHBN, speeches, news clips, CHBN clips, things like that. And that's fine for now, I think, but what a lot of people don't realize is that online video is actually a different form of communication. And so I wanted to briefly mention the three different ways that I feel that online video is a different kind of medium. And I probably should go to slideshow mode before I do this to make it look even more official. There we go. Online video is different because if you have the right kind of content, you can potentially reach out to a new audience. That's way number one. A lot of people are surfing around on sites like CHBN and on YouTube that may never go to your campaign website. They may never watch a commercial that you have on TV because they're sick of regular TV. So you could potentially be reaching out to a new audience of voters, but only if you're really posting the right kind of content. And if you want more details about this, I can go over it later. But the two ways that you can post good content, number one, keep it short. Because if no one's going to watch your video, no one's going to watch a 30-minute video, then it's pretty much pointless to have it on there, no matter how many good points that you're making. And candidates like Hillary Clinton actually realized this. She posted some 30-minute videos up, and then she started posting 4 2-minute videos, Hillcasts, about specific issues. You want to make sure that the length is appropriate to how interesting that the video is. And on that mark, the second thing, the video has to be engaging. If it's not, the candidate needs to be real, they need to be candid, they need to be talking directly to the viewers, and if they're not doing that, then it looks fake, and it looks like they're just using CHBN, YouTube, online video as a media, as a channel for just other kinds of media that they've already produced. And what the users of these sites want to see, I believe, is media that's produced directly for this type of thing. Second way, it's a two-way conversation. CHBN and other online video sites really allow communication not just from Capitol Hill and politicians down, as all other old kind of media forms do. It allows conversation back up to the politicians. If a politician doesn't like what someone's saying about them, they can post a video response about it immediately. If, on the other hand, a constituent, an interest group, a lobbyist, a political geek like myself has something to say back to the candidates or back to the politicians, they can upload that video, and it can go back and forth. Now, a lot of candidates, and no presidential candidates so far, have really grasped and grabbed onto the concept that this can really be a conversation. Again, they're still kind of using it as a one-way channel. But I think the first candidate and the first candidates who start to use it more as a two-way conversation, responding directly to the people that are responding to them, just like a traditional video blogger would, then I think that candidate is going to get an edge in the online video world. And finally, it's almost free, and that means that you can potentially level the playing field between candidates that have a lot of money and are very well funded and candidates that don't have a lot of money but who are able to communicate effectively through online video. And it hasn't really happened yet that an unfunded candidate has necessarily been able to defeat a well-funded candidate. But in the future, we may see more of this as more people actually go online and use online video as a way they get their news and the way that they get their political messages out there. And what we have seen, however, is the other side of things, where a candidate like George Allen, who doesn't understand online video, can feel the wrath of the online video community. And with that, that's it.
Okay. Well, I just want to interject here, and I think, Bill, you've got to have a particularly interesting point of view because it's not just video, but it's video that you can take with you.
Right. And it's still, you know, full disclosure, it's more in theory than reality today. You have Mobi TV and some other things that people can subscribe to from their phones, from their PDAs, But the infrastructure isn't in place yet, but it soon will be. And the driving force behind it will be the carrier's desire to make money. I'll just give you an example. In the first 6 months of 2006 versus the first 6 months of 2005, the carriers made $60.5 billion combined versus 55.7 over that previous 6 months a year before. That's an 8.6% increase. They made $6.3 billion off of texting versus $3.8 billion, which is a 70% increase. So text messaging accounted for almost half of the growth in the industry. So they're looking for new revenue streams because voice is only, you know, it's pretty static at this point. The market's pretty saturated, so they're looking for new add-ons. You've got the Apple iPhone coming up. So it's another way that people will be able to bring video directly to people. You know, video's always been an important ingredient in politics, whether it was, you know, the use of film during World War II, television after the 1960 debate, and still we focus heavily in the political world on, you know, these 30-second commercials that people are watching less and less of. I don't know if anyone else here is like me, but I watch virtually no television live. Everything's TiVo'd and I watch it, or I pause it because I have to walk the dog and I can come back and just catch up through the commercials. So you need to find ways to reach other people, and like you said, you also have to provide avenues where people can find what you're putting out there. You can't expect them to find you. You sort of put it out there so that they can find it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the question, and this is where Jim and I sit, of how we help them get found is the one that is an interesting component. So in terms of video on demand, which is you know, either online or video through a channel that you access from your remote control, and we really do look at it as, in some respects, one and the same thing, just happens to be either a lean-back process or a lean-in process. How does this complement what you do on television? You know, it's as you said, Bill, it's still video. It's the same
right.
thing, but, you know, one of the points that we heard earlier today was integrated strategy, integrated media usage in a campaign, which is tough to do, but is crucial and is, frankly, much more difficult and will continue to be as all of these media forms change and shift. But in fundamental terms, how does something where you have to make sure it's engaging and different enough that people want it, how does that complement what you do through television messaging? Because that is very clearly, you know, the way in which is currently done and will remain so, I believe, for the time being.
Yeah. Well, I mean, TV advertising is something that you don't necessarily want to see, right? You are watching your TV show and somebody bought that airtime to sell to you because they think that you're the right demographic, but that's not necessarily the case. In terms of web video or video on demand, you're actually going out and, well, especially web video, you're going out and actually finding that video and you're playing it for yourself. So already it's something that you want. And Bill was making a point to it earlier. I don't watch TV either. I have two shows that I like. I download them on my iTunes every week. I watch them. No commercials whatsoever, and I skip all that. I have satellite radio, and I have an iPod. I don't listen to commercials on the radio either. I did until Comcast realized they're giving it to me for free. If I did have cable, I'd have a DVR, and I'd skip through the commercials. So how does it complement television? Well, It allows you to advertise to people without them really realizing they're being advertised to, because it's something that they want. It's kind of like when you know, Nike builds a basketball court and they put their logo on it. People like to play on the Nike court, but they may not realize that they want the emblem on their shoe to match the emblem on the court. and they don't realize that they're being advertised to.
But here's a quick question as an interjection. Is there a way in which you're thinking about both forms of video, both this push phenomenon, and how can you use that to get them to want to spend 15 minutes with you on the video demand channel? You know, I guess that question of how it gets integrated and how it complements has more to do with changing the rules so that they're not siloed.
Yeah.
And how would you do that?
Well, you know, last cycle, a lot of candidates came out and said, if you want to learn more about me, go to my website. So this way, they can say, if you want to watch more of this video, go to my website. So it's a nice way to complement, to provide more content to people who are interested, and using television or traditional media as your source of getting the word out there that your website exists and that there's more content that you're interested in is a nice way to complement it.
I'm just going to segue here, sorry, James, and let Jim talk about this because he's really our VOD expert.
Right. And we talked earlier, Michael Basick was talking earlier about integrated campaigns. And as we saw the slide in his presentation of how much money is being spent in television, the call to action, you know, can be, if you want to find out more, go to your on-demand. How many of you have cable at home? Pretty good. How many of you know what video on demand is from cable? Okay, pretty good thing. You know, it's not a high-tech solution. It's a big VCR. It's a VCR on steroids. You know, if you really want to have an understanding of what on demand from the cable side is, it's very low-tech though. My dad, 70 years old, lives outside of Chicago with Comcast. He gets it. He loves it. It changes the way he watches television. It's what you want to watch whenever you want to watch it. And that's really the secret of on-demand. From a platform for political candidates and advocacy, the on-demand product from Comcast is not going to replace the web or anything like that. It complements your overall schedule. If they're watching on a 12-inch monitor your position piece for 3 to 5 minutes, just imagine the impact on your 50-inch plasma sitting at home watching that same 3 to 5 minute piece. It's just another vehicle to get your message out there. How do we drive them to it? We use traditional 30-second spots. We call them branded navigational units, and they work like anything. We've got case study after case study using traditional television advertising. 30-second spots, CNN, Meet the Press, Fox News Channel. You want to find out more about this issue? I don't care whether you're Microsoft targeting people on the Hill or whether you're talking about political candidates, advocacy. Do you want to find out more? Go press the button on your remote control right now, and you can go watch that content. Yes, sir?
Do you have examples of people who are doing that for advocacy or electoral work now?
Microsoft, currently live here in D.C. Okay. I can go through. General Motors pioneered from an advertising standpoint. They pioneered this with Comcast about 2.5 years ago, starting in Philadelphia. And they see the benefits of a longer form. The sweet spot, 3 to 5 minutes. You begin to see a slide in the amount of views. It's all very trackable. We talked earlier about, in Michael's presentation, about how many people are watching, how long are they watching. On demand, same ground rules. You can tell exactly how many people are watching, how long they watched, and from what area they watched for. We are not on a cost per view or cost per click type of model. There's a flat fee. In the last cycle, here in the D.C. market, every state and local candidate was given a platform and had the opportunity to be on demand.
What are the metrics of that?
When you say the metrics of...
How many people use those?
That becomes proprietary for each individual client.
No, but now that it's over, what were the results?
I would have to go back. I don't have those at with me.
I think the short answer, and we were just talking about this earlier, is that you can use a fairly comparable cost per basis, as you were seeing in the discussion that was held earlier with the panel on how much is spent on a per-click basis in search. It's pretty close. It's just a more robust experience.
Right, in the back.
Video,
take that one? Or?
Well, let's tee it up to James on this one.
I look at everything from a content perspective because I'm not really on the technology side of the providing side. I'm personally a content provider myself, and the things I comment on is how the presidential candidates are providing political content. And so, in a word, to answer your question, what's innovative? Better content. They need to have better content, and I think eventually they'll figure out that they need to treat it more as a video dialogue. They need to treat it more as a casual, informal process. They can't post hour-long speeches on there and expect anybody to watch it. That's a short answer to your question.
Yeah, I just got back from South by Southwest in Austin, and if you haven't been, you should all go. And I attended all of the video panels, and really there's only a few people out there making money, and I don't know if any of you have heard of them, but it's Ask a Ninja, Rocket Boom, Lonely Girl 15, Galaxicast, and maybe a couple others. And, you know, just like it was said, it's episodic content that is being desired right now. That's what people are looking for. I had a vendor come to me and say, if you can have an episodic content, find me and we will put it up and we will promote it. And this is a big time provider.
By episodic, what do you mean, like repeat?
No.
Something with a storyline that comes. You come back to see the next chunk.
Oh,
right.
So like Ask a Ninja has. Ask a Ninja do this, Ask a Ninja do that. Almost like a TV show. I guess.
Yeah,
almost like a TV show.
Exactly
what would
right.
That would be a candidate going from one event to the other.
Yeah, so let's say that
a
candidate.
Issue.
Yeah, yeah. Let's say that a candidate had an issue, or you know, let's stop talking about presidential for a second. I know that we want to talk about it, but let's say, for instance, that somebody wanted to somebody running for mayor, had an episode about fixing a pothole, you know. You start out, you make a phone call to the mayor's office, and you say, I have a pothole on Maple Street. How long is it going to take to get this thing fixed? And then you make a funny video of driving over it the next day, and your car goes bump. And then the next day, and then a kid, you know, gets stuck in the pothole. Until finally, 10 days later, the pothole gets fixed, and you say, well, it took 10 days for the current mayor to do this. I promise to fix your pothole in 2.
Have you spent much time with politicians? They like to talk. But I think that's part of the challenge is, you know, breaking that cycle of, I think in their minds, you sort of do one of two things. Either you sit down for a bunch of hours and shoot a bunch of commercials and someone edits it down to 30 seconds, or you go out and give a speech or a Q&A session. I don't think that their head is fully around that, and I don't think the people working in politics, I don't think the people who are doing video, that their head is fully around this yet. But I think over time you'll see a lot more integration, a lot more people that will get it. And someone will figure it out first, just like, you know, you had Jerry Brown with the 800 number, you had McCain and Dean, you know, really push the internet in the last couple of presidential cycles, and I think in a lot of ways, it does really happen from that sort of scale, because that sort of tells all the other people in politics how they should be operating, because it's all based on what's successful.
Jeff?
Oh,
I was going to ask Jeff.
I'm Jeff Jarvis, I'm doing president.com. And Mika Sifri, the Czech president, forced me to look at what David Cameron's doing in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I was just there last week, and I recommend looking at that, because Cameron in the UK and Nicolas Sarkozy doing things like having voters ask questions, the questions get voted up, they answer questions every week, they answer them to the name of the person, there's a regular schedule there, they're having people follow around Cameron, and when he leads an event, you know, he sits down and he talks to the camera and the train, so you know, it's not teleprompter, smaller, more human scale, it's everything James is saying. It's,
right.
But I didn't realize it, but we're seeing it happen in Europe. French,
try to help
Sarkozy, and you'll see, I think, them ahead of us, pretty far. And what it means is, and you know, I've run.
so far among the candidates, you have Obama is doing the everybody loves him thing. You have Hillary doing, and I credit her with this, I'm going to talk to the camera and tell you about an issue. You have McCain kind of making commercials or things that ought to be up on a screen when he's accepting the nomination, when he's not there yet. Nobody's quite found the right. Edwards is kind of doing the
combing his hair on YouTube. We saw that.
Edwards has done some really interesting stuff where he would preview a speech before he gave it. And Edwards, you know, they wanted to be the first campaign to announce, but Vilsack beat him to it by about 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
There's stuff happening, but I think we should think, as we usually do, America-centric, that some of the most interesting stuff in this and lessons to be learned are happening in Europe.
Yeah, I would concur, and in fact, I just came from the Interactive TV Conference in San Francisco right before this, and I will tell you that in the UK and elsewhere in Europe, they are so far ahead of us with interactive TV. It's amazing. It's quite remarkable. Sorry, did you have something to add?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I think I could speak with some authority on this because I happen to be Time Magazine's Person of the Year.
Well done.
You were.
which I think does say a lot about what we're talking about anyway. Time did have its finger on the pulse. But I for a living do comedy and I make videos and I'm about to release a video for a company that's here, Moses, the text message company. I think it's the first ever choose your own adventure video where we're going to have Spider-Man about to be killed, in the lead up to the Spider-Man movie, the spoof, and then viewers can, through text message, decide what ending they want to see. If they want to see him die, if they want to see him become evil, if they want to see him win. That's clever, obviously. I mean, I being Time Magazine Person of the Year, I obviously would be clever. But the point there is that's clever, and I'm part of one group. And I know a lot of other creative comedy people, and I know a lot of creative musicians. And it was interesting today, the discussion that was being had. There were a bunch of people that weren't on my side politically, and there probably are in this room too. I didn't want to give them any ideas, but I will now. And I'm sure it's not even a new idea. This whole discussion about hiring bloggers is an interesting one. I think it's a great discussion, actually. But the average Joe Schmo is not reading blogs. I mean, these are people who are inside the Beltway reading political blogs, I love blogs. But what about this idea of they should be, I mean, to speak in all terms, due respect, they should be hiring me. I mean, they should be hiring musicians, they should be hiring entertainers to send out a message that is issue-based, that is digital, you know, you can see it, you don't have to just read it, and it makes a lot more sense, and you can control the content more easily than a blogger, too. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot to be said for this. Anyway, that's all I was going to say.
I think that would be a really great compliment to what different candidates or anyone else who has a political message is doing online. But I don't think it can necessarily replace a politician talking at a human scale. And I also think politicians could be afraid to do this, but if a politician got on YouTube or CHPN and just did something goofy, they did a my staff plays a prank on me behind the scenes on the campaign bus down on the street. Now, they may be afraid to do this, but I think it'd be really funny, and it would be forwarded all over the internet, and maybe they could use that publicity to then link people back to a site or to a series of videos that's on a more serious basis. So they should be hiring people like you not only to make videos, but to maybe give them some advice about how to be more laid back on camera.
So right, I mean, in 92 you had Clinton, it was a radical thing to have him play the saxophone in Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
And we have a lot more opportunities for the saxophone to be played in a much more fun way. I think that's totally right. Yeah.
Right, sorry. Michael, do you want to...
Okay, practical questions. How much does it cost? How is it targeted? And that's the first question. I had another one. For video on demand, on cable.
Right.
For cable, at least from the Comcast standpoint, and I cannot speak for the other MSOs, whether it be Time Warner or Cox or something, but there's a published rate card, and that's cost per subscriber, cost per digital subscriber. Right now in Washington, D.C., we've got about 500,000 digital subscribers that use on demand every day. They're watching 69 minutes a day. They're watching on demand. So your point about not watching live TV, I know. They're watching what they want to watch when they want to watch it.
Comcast household is watching.
69. That's on demand. That's the on demand platform.
Yeah, so
that's a study that came out last year with AC Nielsen and Comcast.
Wow. And that's mostly what type of content?
Broad range from everything from HBO movies to watching Emeril Lagasse cook a turkey to all the great local entertainment options, Microsoft, you know, inside the Beltway stuff, a wide variety. It's an opt-in, so you can be very targeted, whether it's by a political party or by candidate. It's a viewer opt-in. It cannot be geo-targeted except for DMA at this point.
And I've seen, like, for example, like I sometimes do on-demand music when I'm like getting ready.
Right.
For what?
Let's wait till we get to cocktails before that.
There's like Michael's already drunk. That are sold in front of on-demand content, and is that sold by the content provider or is it sold by Comcast?
If it's under the specific advertiser supported area, it's sold by Comcast. If it's before a food network or something, that would be sold by the national network,
right.
You know, like the Food Network or something like that.
And To answer Michael's point for the online world, you know, we've been talking a lot about YouTube because Google's a big sponsor here. But there are a lot of there are a lot of better servers to go to than YouTube. Blip TV and Rever have amazing channels right now where you can run post roll after your ad. So if you're a candidate for whatever office, you can run a post roll. So you said, you like the video you just saw? Click here right now, and you can get to my website. I want you to do 5 things, and here's how to do it. Click here. You can't do that on YouTube. Not yet. And then that gives you, Michael, you know more about cost per clicks and all that stuff than I do, but it will track you back, and I'll say, this person clicked on this ad. And that's how Zay Frank and Ask a Ninja are making money. They're selling ads on it. So that's the way to do it. The other thing I love is Bright Cove, but that's expensive. And probably costs you about $10,000 a year to run Bright Cove. And that's where you have your own channel with your own tabs, and you can say, this is my speech page, and this is my commercials page, and this is my user-generated content page. So you can track with other sources. And the other thing is you can also embed. I mean, that's the thing. You want to have this information on your own site. So you can have it on Blip and still embed. Let me just give you an example here. So remember the apology from JetBlue? The guy went, okay. So they posted that video on YouTube, and the quality was terrible. The voice synchronization was off. Had they posted on a site like MetaCafe, which pays you $5 for every 1,000 views that you got, JetBlue would have made $1,200 on the apology. JetBlue would have probably paid for 4 tickets that they have to refund to passengers. So
I'm not sure how I feel about that, given the situation. Did you want to go back in and see what continue with your PowerPoint on some of the points that we were discussing regarding whether how this complements what your positioning is on that?
Yeah, well, the PowerPoint is over, so don't worry. Jeff said some of what I wanted to say. He had a great video post. He does video blogging as well, where he comments on the candidates. And he talked about McCain making commercials that were not really necessarily appropriate for an online video kind of medium. And it is the case, though, that sometimes commercials can actually work well online if they're short enough. And an example I would give you is, remember Barack Obama's Monday Night Football, where he almost announced and he ended up just saying, Go Bears? That was a great and really funny video. And he turned that into an online video, put it on his channel, and a lot of people watched it, and it worked really well as a commercial and as a viral video because it was funny, because people wanted to forward it to their friends. Friends forwarded it to me, and I told other people about it. So in that case, there is some sense that television commercials can play both roles, but mostly you want to create new content for this medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to say, I think part of this too, like, there are a lot of great ideas, but some of these would be terrible ideas for certain candidates, and you have to be realistic about, you know, who it is that you're talking about, who your candidate is, and I'm a firm believer that campaigns in general aren't creative enough. that there's a lot more that they could be doing. There are a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is just the basic structure of sort of how the campaign is set up and the consulting structure is set up and sort of how the money is just always budgeted. And there's also a reluctance to take chances, because that one time that you take that chance and it blows up in your face, a lot of people are going to be asking, why did you take that unnecessary risk?
Right.
So you got to be true to who the candidate is. But I think the more that you can get candidates to open up, I mean, imagine one example would be Gore and the whole, like, you know, everybody said how wooden he was in 2000, and if you could give some behind the scenes sense of what the person is like, I mean, that's one example where I think you could use someone's qualities to get them in another setting and use video to address a problem that you have too.
Yeah, and I would just kind of echo one thing, that with, you know, video and on demand,